Good morning. Okay, we have a few announcements. We have a big lineup today. There are sign-up sheets at the Welcome Center for everything you can think of. Turkeys and hams for our church-wide Thanksgiving meal, which will be on November 15th, a Wednesday evening. If you're able to help supply some of the meats for that meal, please sign up. Help us to do that. There are also volunteer daily sign-up sheets for National Collection Week at the Welcome Center. Mandatory Operation Christmas Child drop-off training today at 4 o'clock down in Fellowship Hall. There's a sign-up sheet for signing up for helping with that, and you'll hear more about it this afternoon. But if you can find some time during next week, not this coming week, but the week after, to be in place to help with loading and unloading shoeboxes, we're going to be the drop-off point for our area. Also, a sign-up sheet and the Welcome Center for volunteers to help with upward basketball evaluations. It is coming into that season as well. And Steve will need some help with that Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week. And so if you're able to help with that, he needs help in the evenings on Thursday and Friday and then on Saturday morning. And so there's a sign-up sheet for that as well. Don't forget, next Sunday, 5:30 in the evening is our church conference. That will be mainly discussing the budget proposal for this new year. We certainly want you to be here for input on that. Read your bulletin. There is a lot going on. We don't want you to miss anything that you could be a crucial part of. And so with that being said, I'm going to ask our deacon to come this morning, Brother John Shutt, and we'll be offering a prayer, and then we will have Operation Christmas Child dedication.
Please pray with me. Father God, we gather today to worship you, thanking you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is, Father, to have the assurance of salvation and to come together and to worship you with kindred spirits. And Lord, we have this beginning of season coming where we give in respect of the greatest gift you ever gave us, Father. And so we ask your blessings on these activities today and on the music and the preaching of your word, Father, so that your Holy Spirit can convict and lead lost sinners to know you personally. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now is the time when Operation Christmas Child dedication will begin. Once the boxes are in place, we will have a prayer of dedication for these boxes. We ask you to be patient and prayerful this morning as we do this time of presenting these boxes that have been invested in this ministry. As I understand it, this is just a portion of boxes. We had over 800 before this morning, and I saw several bringing more boxes as we came in. The Lord's been good, has stirred the hearts of his people so that we might be generous in the hopes that these boxes will generate a spirit of desire to follow the Lord, that the Lord will draw to himself children as a result of the gifts that they receive. And so it is our prayer that God blesses the effort that all have put into it, and then that he will indeed, by the power of his word, draw children to himself. So let's pray to that end this morning. Father, we are humbled before you as our God and our Creator, the one who is Redeemer of all who have sinned, who will trust you, Father God, because you have sent your Son Jesus to come and die on the cross for sin. And then being pleased with that, you raised him to life. And Lord God, by grace through faith, all who trust him have the assurance of eternal life. And Lord God, because you poured that love out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that you've given to us, we now give gifts to others. Some children we may never know on this side of glory. Father God, that they may experience your great love expressed by giving of Christ for us while we were still sinners. Lord God, bless the efforts of those hands that have put these together, the machinery that has been put together to bring about the work in these volunteers of this particular ministry team, of every household that participated. Father, we pray you fashion special blessings for them. But Lord God, we especially pray that salvation will come to many children, families, villages, because of your power and your love seen through the generosity of these gifts. And many others in other churches around the world, Lord God, may you be exalted as salvation comes to many. We pray your purposes, your will be accomplished. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, amen. Thank you all so much for volunteering. I know we have some in our midst who have served our nation over the years, and I'd ask you to stand at this time and just remain standing for a moment. If you've served in the military, any branch, please stand at this time. Yes, recognition. Please remain standing if you can. I want to pray for you guys and for your families, so let's bow together. Father God in heaven, you are the great giver. And Father, as you save us, you pour out all of these characteristics that were noted before us on the screen. And I thank you, Father, that some put those characteristics into action to be defenders of this nation, to make sure that freedom abounds in the greatest country in the world. And Father, we pray, asking you to bless the lives of these men and women, their families, Lord God, as they have invested in the work of this nation. We pray, Father, that they will have many days before them. We pray that even today and through this week that they are felt honored. They feel like they're appreciated because of the way that they offered themselves in sacrifice for us. We thank you that they're present with us. We know there are many who served who did not come back. We thank you for all of those, Father, who have given of themselves their time and their energy. And we pray your special blessing upon them today. Lord God, may they know our heart's gratitude toward them. And may you be glorified as you continue to work through young men and women in these days and the days to come. We pray these things, thanking you in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you again. Thank you. Thank you for serving us. Now it's music time. All right.
Would you please stand as we sing My Country 'Tis of Thee.
Rise.
the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Your holy name. Hymn number 227, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Father, I ask that you be with Brother Robert as he brings the message. Allow him to speak with your power and presence. And I pray, Lord, if anyone here hasn't seen or heard the message, that today would be the day. Heavenly Father, help us as we take this offering and use it to honor and glorify you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Forever more, forever.
my grace transfixed on Jesus' face.
Choir, those on the instruments today, thank you for that. We have done a lot so far. I only got 30 minutes to preach. Man. All right, we'll give it a go. We have done a lot. It's right for us to look at these boxes and to recall the effort that's been put into it. It is good for us to pray for what these boxes will accomplish, and not just the boxes, but the power of God through these boxes in the lives of children and hopefully in our world. Also to recognize veterans, those that have served our nation. It is right to do that. Great cost was spent by them and families who committed their loved ones to serve, and we should never, ever forget that kind of effort. But this morning, I really want to point us towards the Lord Jesus Christ, who stepped out of heaven and entered this sin-tainted world, wrapping himself in the flesh and being faithful to the Father's mandate and mission to finally offer up himself as a sacrifice for sin, and in doing so was raised to life and now seated at the right hand of the Father in majesty. That's something we should not forget. The Lord Jesus has been exalted, just as the Apostle Paul claimed in Philippians chapter 2, he's been lifted to that highest place, and one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we have a Savior who is worthy and deserving of our praise, and I want to point us to him this morning. And the passage that I know, one passage that will do that well this morning is out of Hebrews chapter 3. I ask you to stand with me as we read the first six verses out of this Jewish flavored letter written to the Hebrews. The author writes, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was a faithful servant, or faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confession and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Let's pray together. Father, we ask your Spirit to have freedom to move, Father, to move these words from the pages of our Scripture into our very hearts. That, Lord God, we would be convicted, that we would be convinced, that we would be overcome with this reality and truth that Christ Jesus has served you perfectly as he was sent on mission to do so. And Lord God, because of that, we can have an assurance of faith as we place it in you and trust you only. Lord God, speak into our lives today. We pray to your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for standing. Maybe seated. Obviously, our text is grasped out of a context, especially when the first word in our text is therefore. You kind of have to know what it's there for. And so we look back, chapter 1, the author provides for us this revelation. He says, in the past, God spoke through prophets many kinds of ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us through Christ. If you have any question about a prophet in your midst or someone bringing a new word, Christ is the one. There are no new prophets. Christ is the final word, and we have the Scripture as his word to confirm that and validate what his word is. And so in these last days, we have heard from God through his Son that he appointed heir over everything, who would be the very representation of God himself in our midst. And if there's any question about that, then the author goes on to talk about he's higher than the angels. Because to whom of the angels did God say things like, I will be a father to him and he'll be a son to me? And when he again brings the firstborn in the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship this one. Of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds, his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Well, who's speaking? God is saying this, and he says to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever. Even the Father acknowledges Jesus as God. He's exalting Christ, reminding us of what the Old Testament Scripture proclaims and declares about Jesus. Then he says of the angels, they're servants. They're ministers of fire. Christ has been exalted above that. And then he comes into verse chapter 2. And he says, this very Christ has now come into this world. And he was subject to man. He humbled himself for a little while lower than the angels. And he says that he might taste death for everyone. A little bit further in that same chapter, verse 14, he threw death might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The work of Christ was for a purpose to destroy what the devil had accomplished as sin entered into our experience. Christ came and did that perfectly. In fact, down a little bit further in that same chapter, so he had to be made like his brethren in all things that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation or satisfaction for the sins of the people. And so Christ Jesus is that one, was God, came down, humbled himself, and offered himself up in such a way to fight the greatest battle that we needed fought and we could not do on our own. Christ Jesus came and accomplished that. And so therefore, now the author is pointing to this Christ, but reminding the readers who are believers. And listen, the letter to the Hebrews was written to Hebrews. Okay, to Jews, those who had a background in things of the law and things of their ritual and their dietary understanding, all that they knew as Jews, you can see that portrayed through this letter. And the writer keeps saying these were just shadows. Christ finished it. Christ fulfilled it all. Christ was the product. He was the one that came to show us what all those things meant. And so he's reminding the Jews of this. And some of those Jews were believers, and some under heavy persecution, just like all of the early church was. And so he's reminding them, be encouraged. Christ was the real deal. He came, he did what God was pointing to all of those years before. Christ is the finished product. He is the one that you must place your trust in. And so he's talking to believers, but there were also unbelievers. There were some who maybe heard of Christ and were somewhat convinced, but they weren't fully convinced. And so he was using this as an evangelistic tool to the Jewish heart. Listen, here's what the Old Testament taught us. And here's what it was pointing to. Christ Jesus came, fulfilled all of those things. Every time you see something about the Old Testament ways, you can see how Christ came and finished that and became the very picture of what God was trying to show us. And so now, as he's talking to this audience, he identifies them as partakers of a heavenly calling. Calling that comes sometimes externally, but especially internally. Listen, your salvation is not just because some story was told to you and it delighted your heart and your intellect and you said, oh, I think I want to just yield myself to that. You're yielded to Christ Jesus because an inner call came and you responded to that. The Lord did something in your heart. He did something that changed you from the inside out. While it took an external voice, perhaps the hearing of the Word of God that brings us faith, but also it was the inner voice that spoke, the Spirit of God that spoke into our spirit so that we might hear God speak. And so he's saying here, you had a heavenly calling. And as you did, consider Jesus. Don't forget about this one. He identifies him as the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Now, it's interesting that he does that because what we find here is he follows that up and says he was faithful to him who appointed him as Moses was in all his house. He uses Moses as an illustration here. Moses was an apostle, believe it or not, to the Jewish people. An apostle, and I wrote down here, I'm gonna read what I wrote because I think it helps. The apostle is someone who's a messenger, sent by an authoritative head, invested or endued with power to accomplish a particular task. That was Moses. He wasn't in the New Testament. He wasn't one of the 12 of Jesus, but he was an apostle to his people because God sent him. God called him. He sent from an authoritative head. He was endued with power. Listen, when your staff can turn into a snake and then back into a stick, that's power. He came endued with that power. He came with that message. He came also to accomplish a task, and that was to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. So he was, in a sense, an apostle of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you have the Apostle Paul. You have the 12 disciples identified as apostles, those who had a call from an authoritative head, right? They were endued with power. They were given a particular task to do. And that's what these men were. Now, the writer of this Hebrew letter is saying Moses was like an apostle, but Christ. And in my Bible, apostle is capitalized. I love that the writers of the scripture capitalize those words that refer to God, to deity, to Christ, and not just a regular fella. Okay, these weren't just the 12 disciples. This was the apostle, Christ Jesus, the one who was sent from an authority, and then he was given an authoritative power, and he had a task. Jesus came as an apostle. He also came as a high priest. Now, in Moses' case, Moses was indeed the apostle, but Moses wasn't the high priest in his day. I know some of you could say, if I said, who was the high priest in Moses' day? Aaron, his brother, remember? Moses kept giving excuses. Well, I can't speak. I don't know how to do these things. God said, well, your brother's going to be your priest. He's going to be the one who stands between, you're going to be between him and man and me, and then he's the one that's going to priest to the people. He's going to be the one that directs the people and supervises over the rest of the priests, and he's going to be the one that is going to be able to go into the Holy of Holies and to offer up on the Day of Atonement a blood sacrifice upon the mercy seat. That was what the high priest did. Moses didn't do that. Moses was the apostle. He was the messenger. He passed the message on then to Aaron, and Aaron did the work of the high priest. And he, through his lineage, through the family of Levi and Aaron's line, came all of the priests after that. And so Jesus Christ identified as high priest, not just apostle. And again, in my Bible, high priest is capitalized. It's not just a fella, a guy, it's Christ Jesus himself who's the high priest. He was not only the messenger who was assigned by God, an authoritative head, and given a power and sent on an assignment, but he was also the one who could go and could stand between man and God and could minister the things necessary for man to experience forgiveness of sin and the assurance of their relationship with God, and could offer up the only thing that would satisfy God's wrath against sin, and that was a blood sacrifice. What did Christ do? That very thing. Christ Jesus was the only one who came, sent from God the Father. It was an authoritative head, and he was endued with power. No one lived and served the way Christ did, was able to overcome nature and to overcome spiritual things and to overcome physical disease, and able to make more bread than you can imagine out of a few loaves and fishes and feed an entire crowd of 20,000 people. God had to do that, and he did in Christ Jesus. He was a high priest. Ultimately, this high priest was able to break through the veil of our sin, and he was able to bear that sin and then to offer up blood on the very mercy seat in the holiest of holy places in the very presence of God. He didn't just go to the temple. He went to the very presence of God and offered up his blood that would be a satisfactory sacrifice on behalf of sinners. Jesus Christ is the only apostle and high priest that matters. Yes, Moses was important to the Jewish people, and that's why this writer would write about Moses to the Jewish people and then compare what Christ is in comparison to him. Moses was faithful over his house, but Jesus was the builder of the house. We have more than enough instances in Scripture to tell us that Jesus was the creator. Jesus was the one that made all things. Without him, nothing's made that has been made. That's mentioned in the Colossian letter, in the Gospel of John, and all over the place in Scripture. If you'll read it clearly, you find he's a creator. And as a result, it's his building. And last week, we talked at length about who the church is. We're not just an organization. We're not just some sterile place. We are an organism, a living entity that we have been made alive by Christ Jesus. And as a result, we are the body of Christ with him as the head. And we will one day be married to him as his bride, he being the groomsman. It's a living thing. And Christ Jesus is the head of that. He is not only the builder of the house, he's the maker of the house. Remember what Jesus said? I will build my church upon this rock. He's the very builder. And here we find this allusion from the things that Christ said and this writer of the Hebrew letter saying that this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses in verse 3. He's not just the builder of the house, or not just the one who is the house. He's the builder of the house. Moses was faithful in his house as a servant. Another comparison. Moses came down, he simply served God. He was an humble man. The scripture says he's one of the most humble men that ever lived. He humbled himself and he served the Lord God through terrible circumstances. If you read through the first five books of the Bible, you read that Moses humbled himself and stood in the gap for the people of Israel many, many times. When God said, Moses, just move aside, let me wipe this stubborn people out, and we'll start over with new people. And Moses stood in the gap and said, Lord God, please don't do that. What will your name look like among the pagans? He pleaded on behalf of the Israelite people, constantly standing there. And what did the people do in return? They wanted to kill him and stone him and burn him at the stake. They hated Moses because he took them into the wilderness. You've just brought us out here to starve. What a grateful bunch. Huh? But Moses was faithful to serve. And as faithful as he was to serve, Christ Jesus came. And he wasn't just a faithful servant. He was a faithful son. He was the son of the master. He was the rightful heir of the kingdom. The comparison that the writer is making here is of great importance for us. He is continuing to exalt Christ and to point to Jesus and to say there's no other. Even your great Moses, who led the nation out of bondage, brought them to the place where they would come into the land, even Moses was not as great as Jesus, because he is the rightful apostle and the rightful high priest. He is the one who is the builder of the house. This Christ Jesus is the one who is the very Son of God, the Son over a house whose house we are. Now the writer addresses the reader. He says, listen, you're part of this house. You're part of this family. You're part of this body. We talked about that last week. You're part of this body. And there's a caveat here. If, it's usually a conditional term, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. And most people don't like to hear about this because it can pose a problem. It's a crucial element of our deliverance that Jesus provides. As we spoke about the church last week, we remember we're a living thing. And to hear whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence of hope firm to the end, could be interpreted as meaning that people become the house of God by holding fast to that salvation. Now, this can be a problem if it's not understood properly. That would imply that salvation, my security of salvation, is dependent upon me holding on to it. Listen, your salvation is not dependent upon you holding on to Jesus. Okay? You do have a responsibility to walk in obedience and to repent when you have sinned. And when conviction of your heart because of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you comes over you, you should yield yourself anew to Christ. You're holding on to him is evidence that he's holding on to you. Let me say that again. You can't just simply hold on to Christ for your salvation. If you do, it's evidence that he is holding on to you. Does that make sense, people? I would not want to follow Christ if he hadn't prompted my heart to follow him. And because he does, I want to hold on to him. But it's only because he's holding on to me. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. I've read this passage many times in this sanctuary. He said, I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. He's claiming there, I and the Father are one. We're one God. He's holding you. I'm holding you. We're holding you pretty well. And no one's going to be able to snatch you out of there. Well, what confidence is that? I can boast in that Christ has held on to me. You know what the Apostle Paul said? I boast in nothing except the Christ and the crucifixion of Christ. That's what I boast in. I boast in my weakness because when I'm weak and I can't do any more, he is strong. It is his power that is made evident when I am weak. This is our heart. This is what believers ought to be walking in. The confidence and the boasting that we have is in the work of Christ, the powerful work of God through Christ Jesus on our behalf so that we might belong to him. This one who's greater than the angels. This one who yielded himself and came down and wrapped himself in flesh and offered himself up all the way to death on the cross is the one that the Lord has raised up and exalted, and all who belong to him will agree with that and say amen and amen and amen, and will worship him and adore him and give him first place in their lives. This is where the Jewish writer is trying to get the Jewish people to come. And listen, it is where we need to be as well. Where we need to be confessing that our hope is in him, and he will hold us till the end. Many passages of scripture where Jesus has said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Well, how do I endure to the end? I hope in him who's holding on to me. You know, in the past, we have sang a song in this sanctuary, and I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read some of the words of that. It is, he will hold me fast, and it's written by, or sang by Keith and Kristen Getty. You'll recognize the words. I'm going to pick out highlighted words because the whole song is really long. Here's the words. When I fear, my faith will fail. Anybody ever been there? When I fear, my faith will fail. When the tempter would prevail, I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path. For my love is often cold, he must hold me fast. Do you hear those words? Those he saves are his delight, precious in his holy sight. He will not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died. Justice has been satisfied. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast till our faith is turned to sight when he comes at last. And then the chorus, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. Those are powerful words. Now, these aren't scripture, but they express what scripture teaches. That our holding on is dependent upon him holding us. And when we trust in that, that's where our confidence and our boasting comes from. It's not a self-righteousness. It is a claim of God's grateful love and generosity to reach out and to draw us to himself so that we might know him. And the writer of Hebrews puts it so powerfully here in this text, as because Christ is greater than the angels but made himself a little lower for a season, offered himself up, then he is our apostle and high priest, and we can bow to no other. Let our confidence and our boast be in him until the end. Listen, some of you have trusted Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, and like me, you don't know how it happened. You just know that the Lord came in and he changed your life. Some of you were raised in godly families, and you know where your salvation came from. There was an investment of love and teaching that came from those who raised you up. Maybe you just joined a church and you started learning in a church. You came to faith in Christ, and then there are others who don't know Christ. There might be somebody sitting in this place today. You've never trusted Christ as Savior because you're not sure what all this religion's about. Well, let me tell you, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with the living God, because the living God sent himself in the form of Jesus Christ, wrapped in flesh, to come down and pay the price you and I could never pay by dying on the cross and then being raised to life. He has given us the privilege and opportunity to also be raised up in the present tense, even though it's not yet been realized. And if you're lost, listen, I can tell you, trust Christ. If he's stirring your heart, yield yourself to him and see the work that he does in your life. He'll transform you from the inside out. He'll make you into a new creation. He'll make you to love him and to love the people of God, even when they're not lovable. He'll make you to love the word of God, and he'll make you to follow him, and it'll be a joy. Are there heartaches? Yeah, certainly. There are heartaches being a believer, but there's great joy that is the fruit in the end. And that's what we hold out for. He holds on to us till we reach that point. I pray you would trust Christ if you haven't. And if you have, hold on to him as evidence he holds on to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. The simple words in Scripture, sometimes we've read through and we think, oh, this is complicated. But Lord God, your Spirit gives understanding, and to our own spirits you reveal to us so that we might know that we belong to you as children of God. I pray, Father, for those that are yours, that we would have a confidence, not a self-righteousness, but a confidence in you, boasting in you and you alone, and declaring this good news to others around us. Father, I pray for those who may not know you. Stir their hearts. Draw them to yourself. Help them, Father, to have eyes that see and a heart that receives, so that they might hear that truth, they might see it, and they might trust you. Lord God, do your work, not only today in our midst, but do it even as we depart this place. We pray that to your glory, because, Father God, you are worthy of our worship and our adoration. Lord God, we love you. Thank you for loving us first through Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Brother Houston will lead us. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. And we have a few minutes left, so I'm tired. Brother.
The Savior is waiting to enter.
Father in heaven, we thank you that it's been a privilege to be in your house today and to celebrate, to remember, and Lord God, to just be reminded of our Christ, our author, who is, Lord God, an apostle and high priest on our behalf. Lord God, may we be found worshiping and serving faithfully and joyfully in the days to come. Lord, I pray you accompany your church as we depart from this place. Become your scattered people in this community. Be exalted. In Christ's name, to your glory, we pray it. Amen. God bless. I hope I can see you again tonight. We'll have a little Bible study time out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. So, God bless.
Just a couple quick reminders. Again, mandatory meeting today for the Operation Christmas Child drop-off. That's at 4 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. And also, Children's Choir will be meeting at 5:30 in the Music Suite. Let's close with In the Presence of the Lord.